see you all. We have a few announcements here this morning. First one is we're having communion this morning. So if you didn't get a communion cup, I think most of you all did. Make sure to go grab one now. Second announcement is next week we'll have our administrative board meeting. So if you're on if you're on that board, we'll meet after church for that. Third announcement, and this is kind of a personal one, is that today is mine and Paige's anniversary. So, thank you. We've been married 12 years, and we're going to celebrate this afternoon, and maybe this evening a little bit too. So we're very excited about that. So it's just been an amazing dozen years. So. Yeah, that's what I have in terms of announcements this morning. I guess also they say hello, and they're staying home this morning. They were sick most of the week, and so I know some of you knew that and were praying for us, so thank you for your prayers. Are there any other announcements that anybody would like to share with us this morning? All right, Susan.
Well, I'll give it to you now because I keep forgetting to give it to you or anyone else. We'll be gone the whole month of July.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just afraid I'll walk out the door without telling anyone. So I'm telling you now. So someone will have to be taking over, you know, some of those things that I do during the month.
All right.
I won't be here.
All right. I hope it's for a good vacation or something.
It is. I'll have my good phone. But I can only answer questions, you know, over the phone. But yeah, we'll be an island off the coast of Maine. Wow. A little place we go to every year. So
that sounds beautiful. Down,
but it looks out over
the ocean. Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, that's great. That's great. Anybody else have anything that they'd like to share with us? Okay. Well, I'd like to start here this morning with a word of prayer. So I invite you to stand. Let's stand together and just turn our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we know that this is the day that you have made. And you tell us to rejoice and be glad in it. And so that's what we want to do here this morning. We gather together in the name of Jesus. And where two or more are gathered, there you are with them. And so we know that you're with us. And Lord, we rejoice. We are here to worship you. Lord, awaken our hearts, awaken our minds and our souls to what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us here and now, this very moment today. Lord, we love you and we worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I can't think of any better hymn to begin with this morning than Amazing Grace. So I invite you to turn in your hymnals to 378, and we'll sing Amazing Grace. Let's do verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. 1, 2, 4, 6.
What was the number?
378. 378. Amazing Grace.
I once was wrong.
with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verse 10 is where we will begin. Hear the word of the Lord. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from a pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of the chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on the left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Tiger's going to play for us a song that was originally written by someone who was stranded on the sea. Someone who had basically given up and accepted that he wasn't going to make it to dry ground. He's going to play for us, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Mm-hmm.
invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your great love that you tell us about in your word, how long and high and wide and deep it is. And Lord, this morning, as we hear your word proclaimed, I pray, Lord, that you would hear, that we would each hear from you. Lord, that we would hear how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week, my family was sick with the stomach bug. It hit us right after we got home from church last Sunday. I mean, within the hour. And it was awful. And thankfully, neither Addie nor myself ended up getting it, which was a huge relief. But Paige and Ayla and Asher were really sick and knocked out for 3 days or more. And one of those days, while I was making chicken noodle soup for everybody, I was deep in thought, and the Lord kind of interrupted me as I was thinking about something and kind of spoke this thought to me. And I was thinking about how, at the time, I was thinking about how there are, you know, some people in the world who think that nothing bad is ever going to happen to them. You know, people who maybe we would call prideful or arrogant or overly self-confident, and for me, I'm kind of the opposite. I expect bad things to happen to me because they do, and that's just life. You know, you've lived long enough, things, life happens, right? It just does, And so you've got to learn how to deal with those things and those trials and those hardships when they come your way. And so my motto has kind of been like the Star Wars quote that I mentioned last week. Don't underestimate the power of the dark side. That's kind of my motto that I kind of live by. Don't underestimate the power of the dark side, because things can go bad real quick. I mean, just all of a sudden, you know, you can be down and out. And don't underestimate the power of the dark side. And I don't. I know that hard times are coming. I know that at any moment, just things could all fall apart all at once. And that's what happened to us Sunday after church. Everybody was hit all at once, and suddenly, here I am. I have to be super dad to the rescue, helping everybody puke their guts out for hours on end, which, by the way, that's the worst thing for me. I, I don't handle puke well, but over the years, being a dad, I've just had to get used to it, but that's the worst thing ever that could happen in my book. Anyway, so everything just kind of fell apart all around me all at once, and now I was alone, caring for three sick people, and a baby, mind you, all by myself, worrying when I was going to start throwing up, right? Because, oh yeah, surely, you know, it's going to hit me too, or the baby. And I was literally worried sick. Don't underestimate the power of the dark side. And I hadn't. I knew that it was coming, and that's why, you know, I don't carry hand sanitizer around with me because of COVID. I did this long before COVID because the stomach bug is the worst thing to me. So, you know, we clean our hands all the time. After being able to touch something on the floor, come here, you got to clean your hands, you know. So I don't underestimate the power of germs and all that. So that's why, you know, I always am carrying around hand sanitizer. I don't want to be sick. I don't want my kids getting sick, and especially the stomach bug. And so it's kind of like that old saying goes, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, right? Prepare for the worst, hope for the best. And I was prepared for the worst. But was I really hoping for the best? Well, this is what the Lord challenged me with in the midst of all this. Was I really hoping for the best? I think that in all my years of trials and sufferings, which I know are few and pale in comparison to the many things that you all have gone through in your lives, and I know there's more coming, but through it all, I think I've actually come to a spot where I've been preparing for the worst and disregarding the best altogether. Because my experience through hardships has been that the best rarely happens. That's wishful thinking. That's being naive. That's just idealism, right? Hoping for the best. Well, I think that there's a point in our walk with the Lord through trials that we can become jaded and cynical and perhaps even a bit numb to the good that happens even in the midst of pain and suffering. And the Lord was showing me this week that I've really come to a place where I actually overestimate the dark side. That I expect too many bad things to happen. That I overestimate Satan and his destructive ways in the world, and how he's always trying to get us off course in our lives. In that place, overestimating the dark side, overestimating the darkness, that's just as fruitless and just as unhelpful and unhealthy as being unprepared for the worst and pridefully thinking that nothing will ever go wrong. I think it's just as dangerous as that. Well, our scripture this morning sheds some light on this. And it's the passage that I immediately thought about when the Lord was speaking this to me through my time of reflection. And it's a scriptural favorite, I think. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask and imagine. I know that's a favorite verse for a lot of people. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's certainly a favorite of mine. And I hadn't read it in a while. And so there I was, making chicken noodle soup, thinking about Star Wars, and the Lord said, don't underestimate the power of the good side. Translation, don't underestimate the power of God. Don't underestimate God. He was saying, don't underestimate me, Tim. Don't count me out of your equation. You need to account for me in your formula. I'm the X factor. I'm the one who changes everything. And so I was reminded of that, that the Lord changes everything, no matter what we're going through. I'm not alone. We're not alone when we go through these kinds of trials. And I feel like I used to be, actually, when I was younger, I think I was, maybe when I was a younger Christian, I think that I was a little bit better at going through trials and hardships. But I don't know, maybe I just lived too many years now. But James says that we are to consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. My question is, well, why? You know, shouldn't we just get down and out and throw a little pity party for ourselves and, you know, just throw in the towel? You know, that's kind of what probably our sinful nature wants to do. That's kind of the way that we're hardwired. But he says the opposite. Consider it pure joy. And my question is, why? Well, and he answers it right away. He says, because, here's his reason. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think that's a pretty good place to want to end up at. Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Well, and there's another reason, too, why we can have joy in the midst of our sufferings. One that John Wesley, on his deathbed, said. He said that this is the best of all. His dying breath was basically, this is the best of all, that God is with us. That God is with us. And Jesus said, surely I'm with you always until the very end of the age. And Jesus also said, in this world, here's promise, in this world you will have trouble. He doesn't end there. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I mean, what a statement. What a statement. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So whatever you might be going through today or this week or next month or whatever you went through this past week, don't just prepare for the worst and expect it, like I've been doing. No, instead, prepare for the worst and truly hope for the best. Hope for God's best. Don't overestimate the darkness and underestimate God and His goodness and His love. God is ready, willing, and able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Because He loves us. That's what we hear in those verses right before this. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Because He loves us. I'm going to end here this morning with how Paul summarized all of this. He summarized it in Romans 8:31. He said, if God is for us, who or what can be against us? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you know each one of us. You know what we have gone through this week. You know what we're going through right now, what's on our hearts. Lord, you know what's coming this week. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here, Lord. And those in our church who aren't able to be here this morning, Lord, we pray. We pray for each other, Lord, that in the midst of the trials and sufferings that we go through together, Lord, that that we would not forget you, Lord, that you would help us to consider it a joy to go through these hardships, because we know that suffering doesn't end in more suffering, but suffering ultimately ends in perseverance and joy. Suffering ultimately produces joy and more love for you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us this week not to underestimate you and not to overestimate Satan and this world. God, help us see that you're bigger than the air we breathe. Help us see, Lord, that you're stronger. Help us see, Lord, that you are greater than all of our troubles. Lord, may that bring us comfort and joy and help in our time of need. We call out to you and know, Lord, that you always answer. Thank you for being our Father, and that we get to be children in your loving arms. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we will recite our faith together, the Apostles' Creed. You can actually find that on page 7. Page 7, under Response to the Word, all in bold letters. Let's stand as one body. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and I want to hear what the Lord's been doing in your life. Let's share our praises here this morning. What's God been doing? All right.
Well, I don't know about you, but any of you all, but I have this great capacity to lose things and have a hard time finding them. But this week, three things that I really needed to find, God found them for me. And that was a big praise. And the second big praise is last Sunday evening, I caught a call from Elizabeth. She'd been cleaning out the house where her aunt lived, and she had a lot of music, a lot of gospel music. And Elizabeth wanted to know if I wanted it, and of course I wanted it. A big box of hymns and lots of old hymns, which I dearly love. And so I've had a good time with that, and I'm thankful for Elizabeth and Greg. Greg brought them to me, and thankful that she thought about me as might be somebody that wasn't wanting. So it was good. I haven't gone through it all yet, but one book has got like 886 songs in it, so it's taken a while. It's a big notebook.
That'll take a while to go through.
Yeah, it will.
Awesome. Who else? Let's share what God's been doing. Who wants to give a praise?
God has supplied every one of my needs and a whole lot of my wants. So I praise God for that. And he is always faithful to keep me healthy.
Amen. I praise the Lord for 12 years with Paige. So that's my big praise. I'm going to grab some food on the way home for her. Probably either Panera, which is her favorite, or Cheesecake Factory. I don't know. Both are good. I'm going to swing by. Surprise her with that. So, you know first.
So don't let her know.
Don't let her know. Any prayer requests?
One cousin passed away.
No, it's not like Taryn. That's not quite right. No, that's not quite right, Taryn.
I'll share with us, Jean.
Okay. Prayer request for the Dutton family. The son is about 62 years old. He died suddenly. And also, in the past, we've been praying for, a man who had COVID virus back in February. And he's gone all this time. They've been trying all kinds of things to help him, but he died this week. Both of these men that died were best friends with my cousin Ron. And so I remember the Dutton family. And also the family of this other man, his name was Terry Stinson. They're both really good friends, my cousin Ron. So remember those families. I'm sure Terry's wife is devastated because she's tried so much in so many places, and he's traveled here and there to, you know, try different treatments and different things, you know, to happen. But God in his wisdom ended it all.
We'll be praying for them. Yeah, Janine?
Yeah, my friend Joanne is having surgery Tuesday morning to have that lump in her chest cavity removed.
Okay.
I pray she comes through the surgery okay, and that turns out to be benign.
Yeah, bud?
Remembering Larry Courtney and Joyce Lee. We'd like a special request for our grandson. He has autism. He can't tell you really what's going on, but he was born with two good kidneys, I reckon, but they said his body didn't use the one, so now they found out this week that the one is dried up. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your love and for your care. And Lord, we thank you for June finding these things that she lost this week. We thank you for the surprise of new treasures of gospel music and just the feeling of love being thought of for this from Elizabeth and Greg, and thank you for that. Lord, thank you for Brother Randy, and God, for meeting his needs and lots of his wants and keeping him healthy and strong and happy in you. And Lord, thank you for my wonderful bride, Paige, and Lord, just pray that we'd have a great, happy afternoon and evening celebrating our anniversary. Lord, we lift up to you the Dutton family. Lord, hold them in your arms right now as they are grieving the sudden loss of their son. Lord, we pray for Terry Stinson's family and pray, Lord, the same for them, that you'd hold them in your arms and help them, Lord, as they grieve. Lord, we lift up Janine's friend Joanne, And Lord, pray that she would have a good, successful surgery on Tuesday. And Lord, we pray that she come back with a good report that the lump is benign. Father, we lift up Larry Courtney. We lift up Joyce Lee. And Lord, we also lift up Bud Wanda's grandson, who is in real need right now with his kidneys. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray, Lord, that you would help them in their time of suffering and trial. We pray, Lord, that in all these hardships, Lord, that we wouldn't underestimate you. Lord, you're the X factor, you're the healer, and we're trusting you. We need you. And Father, we lift up to you all of those unspoken requests. We lift them up to you now. Thank you, Lord, that it is always yes and amen in Jesus. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 7. And hear this invitation from the Lord Himself. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let's pray this together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. We can pass the peace this morning by just waving at your neighbors. Say hi and smile. I guess we kind of passed the peace before our service started. Well, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us give ourselves and our gifts to God. So I want to remind us of our offering, which, as you know, you can leave as you go or give as you come in. And let's stand and we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
I invite you to follow along on page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ given for you. Let us pray this last prayer here together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And amen indeed. I invite you to turn in your hymnals and to stand as you're able to number 504, The Old Rugged Cross. Number 504. We'll do, let's do verses 1 and 2. Generations, forever and ever. Amen.